Welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking about some Packers football this morning. We're talking about OTAs. The first open practice finally happened. We got some on-field activity to talk about. Took place on Thursday and continues Friday. Continues for pretty much the next month or so. So we got a lot of football to talk about going forward. We're going to get to OTAs in a moment, but first we're going to start off the show talking to former Green Bay Packers, Niall Diggs. I had the opportunity to talk to him just a few hours ago. This is actually a recorded interview, but actually did so in the aftermath of yesterday's practice. We talk about OTAs. We talk about all sorts of things. So listen in. It's a great interview. Joining us now is former Green Bay Packers linebacker Niall Diggs. Welcome onto the show, Mr. Diggs.
Thanks for having me. It's my pleasure.
I'm glad to be talking to you. Now, I noticed a few weeks ago you participated in the NFL-sponsored boot camp on journalism and communications. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience and how it went?
I did. It was a fantastic experience for any former or current players that have not been or heard about it. I highly suggest doing it. There's just an immense amount of information to be obtained from producers and screen and radio, personnel that are there, to guide and help assist in any way they can with your journalism. Writing, to be specific, or radio commentary, working on your TV personality, your enunciation, the way that you're supposed to present yourself after you play on the field. It's really more of a fine-tuning of the skills that we already have. Our personalities pretty much can carry us some way. But this camp definitely highlights some areas that we all need to work on that we let just go by the wayside. But it was a fantastic experience. I highly suggest it to anybody.
Now, was this more of an exploratory thing for you, or do you actually kind of know what you'd like to do in the world of journalism and communications?
For me, it's more exploratory because I'm not 100% sold on doing radio or television. I prefer, me personally, public speaking, but it all ties in together. So my public speaking techniques and my writing skills, all of that come into play whether I'm on radio or on television. These are all important aspects of any avenue in sports media or media that one wants to get into. There's just certain things that you will learn and pick up that professionals hear either mistakes continually being made by professionals in the industry already that, you know, just needs to be corrected, and they want to, you know, in order to break into the industry, you need to be better than someone who's already there. The producer or whoever's hiring needs to, you know, there needs to be something sticking out about you. Mm-hmm. And so keying in and really isolating and fine-tuning these small little nuances that to a trained ear can get you hired or fired in a lot of senses. There's, you know, some professional athletes that get on TV, and they get on TV, they can get in front of the camera on, you know, their name alone, but not too many can actually carry on and do a pretty fantastic job at it as well without having some sort of post-career training, or I should say post-football or post-sport career mm-hmm. training at it.
It sounds like a really cool experience, and I'm going to plead ignorance here, but I noticed on your Twitter profile you have a link for Point Loma Sports Performance in California. Is that kind of also something you're interested in doing?
Exactly. I have a number of things I'm into right now. I'm trying to fine tune where I'm actually going to put all my eggs at. So I do have a personal training facility out here in San Diego, California, where I train anywhere from junior high school to professionals. It's something I really enjoy it. I think it helps just kind of it helps me stay young. It helps me stay into the game, into the sport. As a professional athlete, a former athlete myself, I understand what it takes, what the time and the commitment is that you have to put in, not only on the field but off the field, to be successful in any sport you play. So it keeps me humble. It really keeps me around the younger kids and keeps me into it and keeps me young. So that's one avenue I have. I'm also the strength and defensive back coach at Point Loma High School, which is here in San Diego. I do the San Diego football night in San Diego here, the post-game show for the San Diego Chargers. When the season comes around, I do that show on Sunday nights. Mm-hmm. That's a live show here. And I write and do public speaking. So there's a lot of things. To say the least, I'm never bored. I've always got somewhere to be or something to do, or I can be doing something, but also have fun. I do find time to relax and back off and slow things down and just throttle down and just gather myself back up again and ready for the next, whatever's next.
We're talking to former Green Bay Packers linebacker Niall Diggs here at 24/7 Sports Railbird Central on a Friday morning. It's very neat to talk about the professional things, but if we could kind of talk about football here a little bit, with this, of course, being a podcast kind of focused on the Green Bay Packers, I'd be interested in hearing how much attention you still pay to your former team.
I pay attention to my former teams quite in depth, honestly, because I still know, if I don't know anybody, no, I won't even say I don't know anybody. I know somebody on these teams that I played on, Green Bay, Carolina, and here in San Diego. And it's very interesting to me to watch them on TV and watch them develop. Some players I've played with on other teams that are now on the Packers, like Julius, a couple other guys that have been on Green Bay's roster since I've been in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And I just what I love about it is that they get to experience what I experienced. They get to experience the Lambeau field. You know, Julius had a touchdown last year, intercepted for a touchdown, and I was like, "Go leap!" You know, you have to go leap. You got to do the Lambeau leap. Like, you won't have another opportunity. Probably will not have another opportunity to do it in your life. You have to do that, and that is a story you tell your kids and your grandkids, tell, you know, go on for generations, because that environment, that stadium has so much history and tradition that it will always be one of the best organizations in the NFL to play for and places to play.
As a former linebacker, I'm curious to find out your thoughts on Clay Matthews lining up at inside linebacker as opposed to outside linebacker, because it's something the team here tried last season, and the question has kind of lingered over into 2015. What do you think about that?
I watched Clay Matthews play the past two seasons. I got to say, When they moved him into inside linebacker, I was a little skeptical. My antennas went up because I wasn't sure. I gotta say, Tom Kidd outsmarted me at least, you know, for the most part. Cause I had no idea what was going on. I thought something maybe was going on personnel wise. Maybe they didn't like his performance that he was putting up outside and rushing the passer. But I knee, my first instinct was, man, Clay Matthews is a pass rusher. He's an athlete. He's an animal. Let him rush the passer.
Mm-hmm.
But after watching him a few weeks, I think it was a Sunday night game or a Monday night game, I watched him. Man, he tore it up. He was playing like an animal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the position's all about. Middle linebacker is the absolute funnest position to play on the field. You get to run around. You see everything. You run around. You get to knock the crap out of people, especially if that's something you like I do. It gives you free reign, especially if you got a good defensive line in front of you that can protect you and keep you clean. And with a player like Clay Matthews, it's not going to do anything but benefit him. I've watched some film of him playing outside linebacker as well, off the ball. And he comes up and fills that outside, in a cover three scheme pretty well. He reminded me of our days, back in my defensive days in Green Bay when we were running a lot of man and a lot of cover three and very, very efficient at it. They look like they're getting their swagger back over there, and I look forward to seeing them get to the Super Bowl next season.
There's been kind of some change at the position in Green Bay over the past year. The Packers also drafted a rookie linebacker. His name is Jake Ryan, and I don't expect you to know about Jake Ryan off the top of your head, but maybe you can share some of your experience about what we can expect to see from a linebacker in his rookie season, because I imagine it isn't easy to step in there right away and contribute.
I do have a little bit of knowledge on the Jake Ryan kid. I've read a little bit on him. Just happened to be reading stories. Call me whatever, but I'm weird like that, I guess. But a linebacker coming into the NFL his rookie year starting, which seems like the organization is kind of leaning towards. He seems like a good player. He's making some plays. He's looking good so far in camp. And we'll see what he looks like in preseason. But as far as, passing the eye test, he seems to be looking well. He's impressing the right people. I know that. Now, coming in as a rookie linebacker, you're getting a ton of things thrown at you, especially at middle linebacker. You've got checks. You've got calls. You've got to get the signals and the calls. You've got to have – our middle linebackers are usually high IQ guys. You put in their physical – but they gotta be a higher IQ. Not saying that, we're not sharp, we're not all sharp out there, but the middle linebacker he's got extra things on his plate. And for a rookie to come in as a starting middle linebacker, that's even more impressive. To come in being able to handle the load and succeed and to be successful. I'm not gonna toot my own horn here, but coming in from Ohio State, I was used to the pressure. I was used to being stacked with a lot of information and a lot of responsibility. So going into Green Bay, I had questions about my own ability, but after a couple of weeks of playing with my class, the other rookies that came in, and then the veterans start forming in and meshing in with us, after I gained the confidence, made a few plays on the field, I was wheels up at that point because that's all I needed. I just needed some confirmation, some validation that I can play on this level. I am good enough. I can make this play. And my supporting cast, my teammates that were on the field with me, I could not ask for a better group of guys to come in with. I had Gilbert Brown, Leroy Butler, Darius Sharper, Ronnie Holiday, and Santana Dotson. I had so much experience and talent and humor around me that it kept me humble, kept me in my place as a rookie. Don't get ahead of yourself. But they also taught me an unimaginable amount of information that kept me and let me play for 12 seasons.
It just kind of jogged my memory a little bit when you talked about some of your former teammates. And if I could take this in a direction here, unfortunately, you're no stranger to difficult playoff losses, as you were part of the Packers team that lost to the Philadelphia Eagles in the infamous 4th and 26 game back in 2004. For that, how long did that loss linger with you? And by the same token, how does this year's Packers team put their difficult playoff loss to the Seattle Seahawks behind them?
Oh, man, sorry. I had to go finish throwing up. You just reminded me of one of my worst memories as a Packer. Yeah, the 4th and 26. To be honest, I was watching the game here in California. I was enjoying the game because I was under the assumption that that Green Bay was gonna. There's no question about it. Seattle hasn't done anything all day. They shut everything down, and just one play after another. And I started having deja vu. I started getting hot. My heart starting to beat, and I'm not a jump up out of your seat football game watcher. I'm not one of those kind of guys, but I was standing up. I was rocking back and forth with my arms crossed because I had that feeling like this feels like Philadelphia again. Mm-hmm. This feels like it's just teetering that way. Philadelphia, we were kicking the mess out of them. We had them down. They weren't doing anything all game. And it took not even four plays in our game, but in the Seattle game, there's four plays that totally changed the tide of that game. And I mean, we all know what happened. I don't need to go through the details of it, but it was very disheartening. It was disappointing. I knew what guys felt like on the plane. That's the longest plane ride home. And it's something that will stick with you at least for a couple of seasons. It will make them better players, if not men, or both. Those experiences are not just for this game or the sport. And, you know, people watching are like, oh, we're so sad. And all the fans are away a certain way. But those experiences now that I've, 5 years, 10 years after the fact, I know what it's taught me. I know that it was definitely an enlightening experience. It was humbling, and I learned from it. And did it hurt? Was it painful? Absolutely. Was it hurt and painful to watch, to see the looks on the guys' faces like we had after that game? Absolutely. But the season, next season comes along. Okay, you got a time to rebuild. You have time to recoup. You have time to learn. Take that experience. You build on it. And that makes better teams. It makes better players. It makes better coaches. And so as bad as it looks and as disheartening as it is that they didn't get to the Super Bowl, that game made them a better organization. And I think it'll show this year with the right pieces in place. And I know it's made Coach McCarthy definitely revisit his whole career. You know, these things make you think. You go home and you just sit there and you just gaze off into space and you contemplate everything, because even though it's right there in your hand, how easy it is to drop it in this sport is unreal.
I apologize to bring up these bad memories, but thank you for shedding some light into the experience, at least. Before we let you go, Mr. Diggs, do you have a prediction on how far the Packers will go this season in 2015?
Well, I have them going to the Super Bowl. I've got them going to the show. I had them last year. Green Bay is by far my favorite team. I follow them, aside from San Diego Chargers, if any San Diego Chargers fans listening, I follow San Diego, and I follow Green Bay. I follow Carolina every now and then, but I don't get too many games out here. But Green Bay is always on television, and rightfully so. And so I follow them because green and gold is in my blood, but I still know these players that are playing. I like to look after them, see how they're doing, and just check up on them and keep tabs on them.
Very cool. Thank you so much for talking to us. Can I call upon you again when the Packers play the Chargers this season? I think it happens like week six, week seven, something like that.
You sure can. I'm here.
Very good. Well, we'll touch base with you then, Mr. Diggs. Thank you so much for talking to us today, and best of luck in your future endeavors, whether it lands in the field of journalism or sports performance or whatever. But thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
And thank you to Niall Diggs for joining us here on Railbird Central on 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. That was a very cool interview, and glad he gave us some of his time. But let's talk about some of the stuff that happened on the field at OTAs yesterday on Thursday in our segment.
Packers News of the Day.
That was a little bit loud. I thought one of the biggest stories coming out of yesterday's OTA session was Clay Matthews lining up at inside linebacker. I think if there was any doubt whatsoever where Clay Matthews would line up this season, those have been put to rest. I mean, he's going to line up everywhere, and Mike McCarthy basically confirmed that, and Clay Matthews basically did as well, saying he's going to line up at inside linebacker, he's going to line up at outside linebacker. But if you thought he was going to go back to being a full-time outside linebacker and just kind of be a pass rusher, well, I don't think that's going to happen. Yesterday, during OTAs, there were... If there was ever a time Clay Matthews probably should have lined up at outside linebacker, that might have been it, because kind of surprisingly, and this rather came out of the blue, seeing it's the month of May and it's been, you know, 5 months since last season ended, Julius Peppers didn't practice. He apparently was just sick or had an illness or something, nothing major there. But Nick Perry didn't practice and Mike Neal didn't practice, which those kind of came as a surprise. I realized those guys kind of dealt with minor injuries last year, but they played through them, and you would have thought, well, you know, 4 or 5 months after the fact, they would be back and they'd be fine. I still don't think it's anything major with them, but regardless, none of those three guys practiced yesterday. So you would have thought maybe simply from a depth standpoint, like, maybe we'll put Clay Matthews at outside linebacker yesterday, just simply so we don't have to have, a bunch of inexperienced guys like Jayrone Elliott and Adrian Hubbard, almost working, taking every snap practically, because I mean, that's what basically came down to, whereas the Packers had a little bit better depth at inside linebacker, at least for the time being. On Thursday, but there was Clay Matthews working on the inside, and so I think this, you know, is solidified. He's going to play there in addition to playing everywhere at the linebacker position, and perhaps more interesting than that was the interview Clay Matthews gave after practice, and you know, the media of course wanted to talk to him about playing inside linebacker, and you know, there's kind of been this theory thrown out there that Clay Matthews is going to be upset being asked to play inside linebacker because it's not going to allow him the opportunity to, rush the passer as much, from the line of thinking that chicks dig sacks, you know, coming up with the big statistics and whatever, and that's not going to happen if he's playing inside linebacker. But you know what? Clay Matthews has never once expressed any disappointment or any ill will or anything, you know, about playing inside linebacker. It didn't happen last year. It didn't happen yesterday when he was asked. And I think this theory is pretty much becoming debunked. And I realize it was probably a little bit perpetuated by comments by his own brother, Casey Matthews. I remember last year there was an interview with, you know, the then Philadelphia Eagles linebacker that, you know, Clay wants to play outside linebacker, something like that. And, you know, if he does, I mean, you would think that maybe his own brother would, you know, have some insight or something like that. But if Clay Matthews does want to play back on the outside, everything he said has just been very willing and team oriented first. And what I thought was really interesting, and it was the reasoning he gave for wanting to play there. And that's basically, he said, you know, from the time they made the switch last year, look how much the defense improved. And he's right. I mean, after the Packers kind of took the bye week to make that switch, and Clay Matthews started to play more at inside linebacker last year post bye, and the, you know, defense improved twofold. They really, really improved, whether it's, you know, against the run, against the pass, all aspects of the defense improved. And on top of that, he said, you know, look at how we've started the season the past few years. And the Packers have started each of the past three campaigns with a 1-2 record to open the year. And he's like, we want to start better this year. And you know, that kind of resonated with me, because I look at, you know, who the Packers have at the inside linebacker position, and it's just could very much easily be the case where early in the year, Jake Ryan is not ready for a big workload in week one, or Carl Bradford, who's making the transition also to inside linebacker, is not ready to go, you know, full bore by week one. Maybe it comes in due time for these guys. But if the Packers want to get off to a good start to the year, they might have to rely on Clay Matthews a little bit more, especially early on, than as opposed to down the road. And the Packers have, you know, kind of a little bit of tough sledding early in the season. You know, the Bears aren't the most difficult opponent on the schedule, but they do start on the road, and then they follow it up with, of course, the Seattle Seahawks, which are one of the best, you know, going to be the contenders in the NFC. So the Packers want to get off to a good start, and that's what resonated me is with Clay Matthews making these team first comments yesterday. So I thought that was maybe the biggest takeaway from OTAs on the first day. Not that it's the only thing. Got some other things here want to touch on as well. If we're talking about injuries and who was there, who wasn't there. Cornerback Casey Hayward suffered a foot injury and did not practice yesterday and may, in fact, be out till the start of training camp. Of course, head coach Mike McCarthy does not talk about injuries during this portion of the year. During OTAs, don't expect the Packers organization to make any official comments or release any injury reports. They just don't do it because these are voluntary workouts. It changes, you know, once training camp starts, once the regular season happens, they do, you know, comment officially on injuries and things like that. But at this time of year, don't expect it. So a little bit, you know, I know the media talked to Casey Hayward, and he kind of acknowledged that he had some sort of ankle injury or foot injury this off season, but didn't really get into specifics, but kind of acknowledged though that he could be out until training camp. And while that's disappointing, here was a guy who was perhaps expected, if not to be the starter at cornerback, be basically the front runner for the job as a veteran to start opposite Sam Shields at the cornerback position in light of, you know, the news that Tremon Williams and Devon House left during free agency. So it's disappointing, but by no means do I think this is, you know, going to kill Casey Hayward's chances of starting. I just think back to last year, and people probably have almost forgotten this by now, and this maybe proves the point, is last year, basically, I don't think Clay Matthews participated in OTAs at all, and neither did Andrew Corliss or Nick Perry. None of these guys participated in OTAs last year. Do you remember that? Does anybody out there remember that even? No, I don't think they do, because they all went on to have healthy seasons. Clay Matthews and Andrew Corliss played in all 16 games. I think Nick Perry played in 15 out of 16 games. So, you know, it doesn't matter that you're missing OTAs, especially when you're, you know, a veteran of, you know, Casey Hayward now entering his fourth year. It's not like he's a rookie or anything. So this is not a huge deal. I think he can move on from it, and people will point to Casey Hayward. I had somebody yesterday on Twitter say he's always injured. Well, no, he's not. Casey Hayward had one season in which he went on injured reserve. His first year in the NFL, he played in all 22 games, including preseason and postseason. And his third year in the NFL, he played in all 22 games. You don't play in 22 games a year by always being injured. So I think the fact that it happened, you know, I'm not sure exactly, because like I said, Casey Hayward didn't go into specifics, but it happened prior to this point, you know, prior to May. So back when he suffered the hamstring injury, it happened right before training camp. So we're talking like July, and it happened to his hamstring. I think we're talking about a foot injury suffered in May or April or whenever it is. He's got months until training camp yet. Training camp isn't that far away, but, you know, the start of the regular season even further in the distance. Plenty of time for Casey Hayward to get healthy by then. He wasn't the only one missing practice. Like I said before, several outside linebackers missing. Julius Peppers, Mike Neal, Nick Perry, all missing. Mike McCarthy said he wasn't concerned about any of these injuries or anything like that, and I can't blame him. Defensive lineman Josh Boyd missed. Was kind of curious. I didn't know anything about him, really, and why he's gone. Linebacker James Vaughter's gone as well. Jordy Nelson actually kind of apparently took part on a very, very limited basis. From what I can gather, he actually took part in like the stretching at the beginning of practice and things like that, and was actually suited up. But basically from there on out, didn't really do anything. Jordy Nelson, of course, coming off hip surgery last offseason. In his, you know, post-practice interview, basically kind of downplayed the injury and said, you know, it's not really going to be a concern long-term. And I very much probably take Jordy Nelson's word for it on that, considering, you know, he played through it last season. It was just something to get cleaned up here, more or less. And I wouldn't worry about Jordy Nelson, again, especially when we're at the time of year when OTAs for a veteran player, not the end of the world here. Not too concerned about Jordy Nelson. The good news among injuries, though, yesterday was that there were six Packers players who ended the year on injured reserve last year that are still with the team. And all six of those players practiced on Thursday. Some to a greater extent than others, but all six who ended last year on injured reserve practice. So that's a really good indication, kind of headlined by BJ Raji, who of course tore his biceps and didn't play a single regular season down last year. But also several players who are coming off ACL injuries, including wide receiver Jared Aberderis, offensive lineman Don Barclay, linebacker Andy Malumba. All those guys tore ACLs last year, and they all took part in practice yesterday, apparently on a limited basis, reportedly. You know, many of the beat reporters cited this who were there. I can't single out just one, but, apparently what all these players who had the torn ACLs is they would do the individual work, the drill work, but they didn't do any of the 11-on-11 stuff. So kind of taking a baby step, but as far as these guys go, simply taking part in practice at all, I think is a step in the right direction, and hopefully, you know, that they're only going to, you know, take more and more steps as time goes on here. If they can ease them back into participating in 11-11s eventually here in the upcoming weeks, I mean, that would show major progress. So good news there. But to end the show with our final segment,
the day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers this Friday, OTAs actually continue, but they take place behind closed doors in Green Bay. So if you were thinking about going to practice or wanted to see the Packers today, on Friday, you're wasting your time. It does happen, but it's going to happen inside the Don Hutson Center, not open to the public, not even open to the media. I think your next opportunity to see them is next Tuesday. So once again, open to the public, practice on Tuesday. So practice happening today, just nobody can see it. If you did happen to want to see a Green Bay Packer on Friday evening, there's an event taking place called An Evening with Eddie Lacy, which is happening at Carthage College in Kenosha, Wisconsin, put on behalf of the Greater Milwaukee Synod. It is a charity fundraiser for, I forget the charity that it's raising money for, something Hope. Eddie Lacy is basically going to be doing a public speaking event in which he talks about his experience, about his family being displaced by Hurricane Katrina. Back when he was growing up, the hurricane hits, basically, you know, destroys his family home or whatever, and they had to move around a little bit. And you know, it's a story that's been told before. You know, notably, I know ESPN did a big special about it, but here you get to actually get Eddie Lacy's, you know, personal kind of views on it and what happened to him. And I think it'll be a really cool event. So I know I've you know, provided some links in the Packers calendar at 24/7 Sports. If you're interested in finding out more, go ahead, find that article, find that link, today's Packers calendar post. It'll tell you how to buy tickets and things like that. And kind of one final note here, also continuing on not only Friday, but the length of the weekend here, the NFLPA rookie premiere continues. Of course, two Green Bay Packers players taking part, quarterback Brett Hundley and wide receiver Ty Montgomery. And I just kind of wrote a opinionated column yesterday about the event and kind of speculated, why does this event last 4 days long and really even more than four? Because I saw them promoting pictures on their, you know, social media accounts even on Wednesday evening. You know, here. Ty Montgomery and Brett Hundley are out in Los Angeles at the NFLPA rookie premiere, and they have no choice about it. It's worked into the league's collective bargaining agreement. It's part of their contracts. They have to attend. But my point was, is why is this a 4/5 day long event for them to basically sign autographs and you know, they're taking photography for their trading cards for Tops and Panini and those kind of things. And it just doesn't make sense to me that it has to last that long while their teammates are out there practicing during OTAs. It seems to me like this is something that could take place over the course of the weekend, primarily on Saturday and Sunday. And I realize it probably takes a little bit extra time for transportation and things like that. But still, you know, the NFL disallows teams to practice OTAs on the weekends. They just like that's their time off. That's time for them to rest. And, you know, that we're not during the regular season here. And it makes sense to me that, you know, maybe this event should almost be almost limited to the weekend when these guys, you know, have some time off, they could do this. Instead, you know, here they are rookies and they missed the first open practice of the year, to go to this event, to sign autographs, and saw them, you know, sharing other stuff. They were playing Madden, and you know, I mean, how long does this event have to be? I mean, if they're sitting there playing Madden, it's a bell went off in my head and be like, this event's too long. That's the way I see it. Is it the biggest thing in the world? Is it FIFA corruption? No, it's not that. But I'd rather see Ty Montgomery and Brett Hundley out there practicing and then doing this on the weekend or something like that. So that's my two cents on the topic, but that'll leave it. We'll leave it there for the day. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us here on a Friday morning. Actually, have a guest confirmed already for Monday. Been working on this. Really excited. We have another former Packers player joining us. Harry Sidney, former Packers player and coach, former fullback, former running backs coach for the Green Bay Packers, Super Bowl champion joining us. So really excited about that. Harry Sidney currently is a radio analyst for 107.5 The Fan in Green Bay, and we're going to talk to him. So cool to talk to another former Packers player. So looking forward to that on Monday. Hope you join us then. We'll see you later, folks. Have a good weekend. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, the live edition of the show, podcasted and viewed on demand later in the day. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called So Far From Home by the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go Pack Go.